This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Howard Schwartz. So, no weapons of mass destruction, not even hidden away in Syria. And now more proof has emerged that the architects of what was called shock and awe knew that all along. So, reason number one was gone. But then we heard our main purpose was to remove the hideous tyrant Saddam Hussein, one of the dictators our government had cozied up to whenever that seemed mutually beneficial. But now there's talk that Saddam may still avoid a trial and be delivered into exile. And if that happens, reason number two loses credibility. Okay, on to reason number three. We were liberating the Iraqi people. The number of Iraqis that were killed in the cause of their liberation is said to be approaching 200,000. Because we knew in advance that there were scant Iraqi military to oppose us, even the U.S. military admits that nearly 80% of Iraqi casualties were civilians, and a large share of those would be women and children. The country's infrastructure was bombed out, cultural sites looted, and much of the country's electricity and water sources are still down. Outside extremists have exploited the misery. Most Iraqis see the new government as an American puppet, and many journalists, including Pulitzer Prize-winning Seymour Hersh, says that all-out civil war is imminent. In recent weeks, as bombing attacks rage, over 400 Iraqis have been killed, as well as a dozen GIs. Want to ask the Iraqi people if they're feeling liberated? Well, down goes reason number three. And if you want to blame the insurgents, first let's understand that that label does not cover only foreign jihadists. Now just try and imagine for a minute that China had invaded the United States, and their soldiers were patrolling your town. Now who's an insurgent? Dr. Dalia Wasfi was born in Iraq and came to live in the United States in 1977 at age 5 with her parents and sister. But much of her dad's family still live in the Basra area, and Dalia went back to visit them in February and March of last year. Producer Eleanor Ostrinsky speaks with Dr. Dalia Wasfi.
Life is it's a daily struggle for survival. People are still with rolling blackouts. They don't have enough electricity. And many of the homes, the water runs on a pump. So when they lose electricity, they lose water. In addition to that, there's the horrible lack of security, a horrible living situation for the entire population.
Can you tell us specifically about your family? How are they doing?
Well, they're managing. I have many cousins who have college degrees, but there's no work. And now throughout Iraq, there's between 60 and 70% unemployment. And part of this is because contracts went to American companies instead of Iraqi companies through no-bid process. Part of that is because of the lack of security, that there's just a lack of availability of employment. They have lived like this now for 15 years. And actually, my cousins, who are in their 20s and 30s, have known nothing but war and occupation because they were born during the Iran-Iraq War with a few months of respite in between the Iran-Iraq War and the Gulf War and then the deadly sanctions. So they managed to keep their hope because without hope, they have nothing left. But we cannot imagine in this country, I cannot, what their daily struggle is.
Yeah, and even those few folks who've managed to get jobs, recently in the news there was a report about a few women who were working for American companies who were killed just because of their association with Americans. What is it like for women trying to find jobs?
Yeah, well, it's absolutely true that anybody who's perceived as a collaborator with the occupation is targeted. And I remember actually a while ago there were several women who were working to clean the British offices in Basra because the British are occupying the south and they were killed. And for women, their situation has significantly deteriorated because of the lack of security. The segment of the population that is victimized the most are women and children. Now, of course, prior to the invasion, they were living under dictatorship, and they had to live by those restrictions and limits, and you knew what you could and couldn't say, and you didn't criticize the government, and you had to be careful. But people could send their children to school in the morning and not worry they were going to get blown up, and not worrying that they would get shot. And that changed almost overnight. From April 9th, 2003, when Baghdad fell, and our American troops failed to establish law and order. From that time on, there was chaos and looting throughout the country. And now it's only spiraled into more chaos and a lack of accountability. And people can do whatever they want with impunity. People are getting kidnapped, mostly women and children, especially if they're from wealthier families. Because with unemployment, people are taking desperate measures to make money. And in addition to that, in the Shiite South, there's an organization called Hizb ad-Da'wah Islamiyah, which roughly translated is the Party of the Call to God. And the new prime minister, Ibrahim Jafari, is with this party. And they're very conservative. They have a very strict interpretation of Islam. It's more restrictions on women. One of my cousins, she's like, oh, if I go out without wearing the full black abaya covering, I will get harassed. But now she tells me, it's like, oh, if I go out without being completely covered, they'll kill me. So Saddam Hussein kept them in check brutally by eliminating the opposition. He had a secular government. He didn't want religious extremists. But now with that check gone, Hizb ad-Da'wah has taken control. My dad heard the report that at Basra University they had a picnic and one of the girls didn't cover her hair because she was Christian and she was killed. So it's extraordinarily difficult circumstances for women now.
Now, there's a theory that if government doesn't really address the needs of the ordinary people sort of in the center, people kind of move to the left or right extremes to look for their basic needs. Is that some of what's happening, and is that why more fundamentalist powers are coming to be?
That's certainly partially an explanation for what we're seeing now. And again, it's the desperate society that we created in conjunction with the British through 14 years of brutal sanctions. You push people to desperation, you're going to push them to extreme measures. Yeah, people turn to a more extreme religious interpretation, more extreme measures of coping with life, and that certainly is a factor in what we see now in Iraq. Saddam Hussein was brutal. They were happy to see him go. But I ask my cousins now, is your life better now than it was under Saddam Hussein? They tell me, no way. So what they hope for is some sort of change that will restore the necessities of daily living.
Now, there's also a great opportunity for change here. There's a new constitution being written with all of the elections having happened. Where do women fit in the political aspect of life?
If they were legitimate elections and if they were not coordinated by the American administration, I would say there might be hope for change. But don't forget, we helped bring Saddam Hussein to power in the 1960s in Iraq, because at that time, following the fall of the British, the two parties vying for control in Iraq were the Ba'ath Party and the Communists. And Saddam Hussein was towing our line at that time, and so we helped bring him to power. The subsequent so-called leaders that we've seen in Iraq since the invasion, people like Ahmed Chalabi, his organization is the Iraqi National Congress, which is funded by the State Department, and who's a criminal in his own right. He's charged with embezzlement in Jordan. People like Iyad Alawi, his organization is the Iraqi National Accord, funded by the CIA. These people have not lived in Iraq for 20 years, and their complicity with the invasion and occupation of Iraq, they have the blood of 150,000 Iraqis on their hands. And Ibrahim Jafari was also a member of the Iraqi Governing Council, and these were individuals who were sort of a yes group to Paul Bremer, handpicked by Paul Bremer at the time that the Coalition Provisional Authority was in place. So we're not seeing any changes at all in Iraq. In 14 years of sanctions that killed an estimated between 1.2 and 1.8 million people, the weakest who could not afford to survive, and that's the children, the elderly, the sick, the poor. So, and the Iraqis know this very well. So I'm sure they were happy to see Saddam Hussein go, but they didn't want him replaced by an American dictatorship there. So the fact that there are women members of the new legislature means nothing. It's a puppet government, and a puppet is a puppet, whether it's male or female.
What could be the first steps to get out of Iraq and this war?
Absolutely, immediately withdraw the troops. People often say, well, you know, it might slip into civil war if the troops leave. Let me tell you, it's already chaos there throughout the country. and the troops are not providing any security. They're merely targets for the resistance, and they are committing their own war crimes. You know, the conditions at Abu Ghraib are unchanged. This has to stop. We have liberated no one. And I'll joke with my cousins that, we liberated you from electricity and we freed you from your water. And, you know, that's just a sense of humor to cope with things. The troops need to withdraw unconditionally. And I believe we owe it to the Iraqi people to send in a peacekeeping force. Now, peacekeeping force will be difficult because anything with the label of the United Nations has a bad name in Iraq, first because of the years of sanctions which the UN went along with, strong-armed by the Americans and the British, but still they were complicit, and also because the UN leadership in Iraq after the invasion was working with Paul Bremer to choose the Iraqi Governing Council. So they are seen as complicit with the occupation. But if you bring in a peacekeeping force from countries that have nothing to do with imperialism, from other Muslim countries, it could be from Scandinavian countries, a large enough force that is trained in peacekeeping, not in aggressive tactics like our military is, and to establish the law and order until the Iraqis can have their own real elections and a real government can be installed and people can get their lives back. In addition to that, Halliburton and company needs to get the hell out of Iraq. They have no right to be there. They're stealing Iraq's resources. They received the large portion of no-bid contracts. And we know that they've stolen Iraqi money that was assets that were frozen at the time of the Gulf War. So they have to get out, and all reconstruction should go to Iraqi companies. However, we need to pay for it. We blew up the country. We have to pay to fix it. And we also owe a hell of a lot of people reparations for the loss of life that they've experienced or the crimes committed against them. So militarily, get out. Economically, get out, except you have to fund reconstruction and reparations. And if the Iraqi people desire it, a peacekeeping force so that they can rebuild.
Dr. Dalia Wasfi, thank you so much for all of your suggestions and your personal experiences were really very much appreciated. Thank you
so much for the opportunity. I enjoyed talking with you.
The word you need to know is occupation, the very definition of a land without a nation.
Were we right to invade Iraq? Was this war really necessary? We want to know what you think. Email us. Go to www.marynoel.org/voices. Just click on Contact Us, or you can call us at 1-877-MARYNOEL. That's 1-877-MARYKNOLL.
Destroy whole city blocks while children swallow shrapnel for the crime of throwing rocks.
Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Paul Rykoff and Dr. Dalia Wasfi are just two of the voices of our world. This week's show was produced by Kathy Golden, and I'm your host, Howard Schwartz. You heard music today by Steve Earle and David Rovics. To suggest a topic or for more information on today's guests, just go to our program's website, www.marynoel.org/voices. To get Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, please call 1-877-MARYKNOLL. That's 1-877-MARYKNOLL. If you missed a portion of this program, you can catch us on our website, www.marynoel.org/voices. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.
On the outside, there are prisons, the inside detainees being stripped.